The Sermon on the Mount was a series of teachings that the Lord Jesus Christ gave in the presence of his disciples and in the presence of the crowds, so that both might learn what is expected of a believer. But the Sermon on the Mount, including Matthew 7 verse 13, was very early on in Jesus' ministry. It had hardly begun. And we had read to us by Tommy, and I'll read it again, some of the words that he said in the Sermon on the Mount at Matthew 7:13. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Fast forward to Jesus on the way to die in Jerusalem. Nearly 3 years later. And it looks as if the person who questions Jesus now, are there few that be saved? He might have been there at the Sermon on the Mount and wasn't sure if he had heard correctly. Or he may have heard it from someone who was there, and with the passage of time, wasn't sure whether his friend had got it right or whether he had grasped it correctly. So in the midst of the journeying of the Lord Jesus, as he went through towns, cities, villages towards Jerusalem, a man came up and asked him in front of everybody this question. Lord, are there few that be saved? I think the implication is, if few, how many? Now, Jesus had in fact said in the Sermon on the Mount, few there be that find it, the narrow way that leads to life, the narrow gate of the Lord Jesus that leads to that narrow way. He had said that there were few who find it. So this man comes, and he could be a heckler. He could be one trying to put Jesus on the spot with a very vexed question. But at all events, he says, are there few that be saved? And he said to many, unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate. Now, this is different. He said in the Sermon on the Mount, in his teaching, strait, because strait is the gate. Enter in at the strait gate. But to a man who asks if there are very few, he says, strive to enter in at the strait gate. You're interested in numbers? You'd like to know if there's 1,000, 7,000, 1,000,000, would you? Jesus wasn't going to give numbers. But what Jesus did say is that if there are few that enter the kingdom of God, make sure you're one of them. That's what he was saying. If there are few that enter into the kingdom of heaven, you make sure that you are one of them. From your point of view, it doesn't matter how many others there are, who they are, or how few they are. Just be sure that you are one of them. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. I remember the readings, a sermon by Spurgeon, but I don't know which one it was and where I read it, but it was a sermon by Spurgeon, I think on the occasion of a Sunday school anniversary. And he used these words in an aside to the parents. And he said, parents, count nothing done until your children are saved. Never mind about quality of upbringing. Never mind about exams and abilities. Count nothing as done until your children are saved. It is, of course, the most important thing in life. Entry into the kingdom of God is, of course, not the end. If you're saved when you're 8 or 18 or 28, maybe you've got a lot of life ahead of you. But without that beginning, you can't go on. Without beginning in Christ, you can't be 20 or 30 or 40 as a Christian. Without beginning with Christ, you cannot walk the Christian pathway. So you could be 50 and not have achieved anything that is of eternal value. So Jesus says to this man, strive, strive. Two men striving. Do you remember the story of Moses? Against one another. Moses separated them. Striving means using as much strength, as much power as you can to overcome an opponent. And the Lord is saying, in the same way, use similar energies, but spiritual, not physical, to overcome all the temptations of sin. Everything that would keep you out of the kingdom, keep you away from the Lord Jesus. Use all your energies, all your might, and all your main to say, I'm not going to be led astray. I want to find Jesus. I want to go to a church that will preach Jesus. I want to read the Bible because it's the book that tells me about Jesus. Strive. Work at it. Make sure you do it. Give it priority. Strive, he says, to enter in at the straight gate. And then he makes a comment. Strive to enter, make sure you're one of them, because many won't. Many won't do that. You will be in the middle of a lot of people where many of them won't strive. And you will be tempted not to strive to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. For many, I say, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Jesus goes on to tell us why they won't be able. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut to the door, and you're outside. In other words, They left it too late. People kept saying, well, next year, the year after, when I'm a bit older, when I've got nothing better to do, when I'm retired, I will strive to find Jesus. But they'll have left it too late. They don't know that they're going to live another day. They don't know that some habit is not going to overmaster them and take all their times and energies. They leave it too late. Strive to enter in. For many will seek to enter in, but they'll be too late. And this is an allusion to Noah. You remember how Noah preached? He's called in the New Testament a preacher of righteousness. And do you remember how for many, many years, however long it took the ark to be building, doubtless people came to him, and doubtless he preached that there was a flood coming, and doubtless some would have laughed him to scorn, some would have just noted the point, some would see him building all this, and what a size. Perhaps some might have answered, well, I wonder how many of us will get in there. But except for eight, and all Noah's family, when the flood came, the Lord shut to the door from outside. And despite their cries, they'd left it too late. They were all drowned in the flood. Eight out of however many millions there were alive at the time. So this is a reference to that. When once the master of the house has risen up and has shut the door, then there's no forcing of your way in. The door will not be open any longer. You've got a chance now to strive to enter into that door, but leave it too late and there won't be a hope. When once the master of the house is risen up, and has shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without or outside, and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. Well, you can see it from God's point of view, can't you? All the time when they could, they didn't want to, and now they can't, they do want to. So perverse is man. So what will happen when the door is shut? What will happen just as you're dying? What will happen just as the Lord returns? Whatever the circumstances are when you leave this worldly, earthly scene. If you shout, Lord, Lord, convert me. And you've left it too late. There is no hope. There are those who tell me when I visit on the doors, or used to, that when they get to heaven, they'll tell God about all the good things that they've done. But they won't, will they? They won't get a chance. None of us has done good things without Christ. But they think when it comes to judgment, they'll be able to argue the case with God. The only real place in Scripture and in Revelation where such a thing is mentioned is where the little horn of the beast argues with God on the judgment day, but his end is to perish. So when the time comes, when the Lord returns, says the Lord Jesus, it will immediately be apparent to everybody from all over the world, north, south, east and west, that it's the Lord who's returned. And even whether they believe in the Lord Jesus or have scarcely heard of him, they will know who it is. And bearing that in mind, and bearing that he said, when the Lord returns, it will be obvious, it will be like lightning going from one part of the heaven to the other, there won't be chance to repent. It will be like men and women suddenly realizing the end is coming and saying, Lord, Lord, help us. And they are too late. And that is the position without the preaching of the gospel that many people in our society are in. And even with the preaching of the gospel, even when Jesus preached the gospel, many chose not to go in. So when this man asked, are there few? Jesus said, make sure you're one of them. And that man would have been forced to say to himself, am I one of the few? Do I in fact seek the Lord Jesus Christ? How can I be sure that I am saved? And when you begin to knock at the door, God will say, go away. I do not know you. Now, of course, God knows everybody. But what is meant, he doesn't know them as a believing disciple, as one of his. I know you not whence you are. But they'll begin to say, do you remember, Lord Jesus, you actually came into our road and did healing miracles. And you had a meal in our village. Then shall he begin to say, hoping to win an argument, we've eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in thy streets. Now that is no excuse, is it? It should have been an impetus to them to believe. They're in fact heaping their destruction upon themselves. But once again, the Lord will say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. Now, if we're not on the side of the Lord Jesus, we are against him. People will say, well, I never worked iniquity, I've just been an ordinary person. But ordinary persons are sinners. Ordinary persons do wreak damage, hurt people, use their temper with people. Ordinary people do these things. And it is no excuse. So the Lord says, depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. That being the end, strive to enter in. And then Jesus paints a picture. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So at this last time when a person is left out, he will either be full of sobbing and crying and regrets, or else he'll be very, very, very angry with God, gnashing of teeth. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. If you don't come to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you don't submit to the preaching of the gospel, if you don't strive to enter in to the narrow gate, this will be the end. It will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then says David, and then says Jesus, this will make it worse. You'll see Abraham. These are wonderful pictures. The story of Jesus and Lazarus, where the rich man could see Lazarus in heaven. And it got a similar thing here. There shall be weeping and gnashing when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you're left out. There's nothing worse than seeing other people. I often told you about the detentions I got at school. And the main point that it was not very nice was not that you were kept in. You could do your homework as often as not, though sometimes you wrote lines. Was that others were doing what they wanted to do while you had to sit in school. That was the hard thing. I used to think I could be playing cricket or watching trains. In fact, I probably wouldn't have been doing those things if I hadn't got a detention. It was the fact that others were free. So part of the misery of refusing Christ and of not striving to enter is that you'll see Abraham, and you'll see Isaac, and you'll see Jacob, and you'll see all the prophets, but not you. And Jesus makes it worse. He doesn't say, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you left out. He uses that terrible word, thrust. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out, pushed away, not allowed anywhere near, dismissed into hell. That will make it worse. So the Lord pleads with this man. Make sure you are one of the few. Do everything to make sure that you believe in me, says the Lord Jesus, in the forgiveness of sins which I shall accomplish on Calvary, in my perfect righteousness which you shall have counted to you. Make sure, strive. And there will be those who will come from the east and the west, from the north and the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. What another argument he uses to this person. Not only will you see those and you thrust out, but there's another element. People like you will come from all times of history and from the east and the west and the north and the south, all over the world, and be saved, but not you. It's terrible, isn't it? They shall come from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God, even if they're Gentiles, which may be the meaning of the last compared with the first, the Jewish nation. Or it may mean those who come latest in the history. But if you're among the last in history, you might be preferred before some of the people who lived in olden times. Strive. Make it your business. Make it the one aim of your life till the thing is done. To believe in the Lord Jesus Christ unto salvation. Yes, I did say there were few, but I'm not telling you how many. You must just discover for yourself if you are one of them. Make sure of it, so that means that it's possible. And make sure that you're not thrust out of everlasting life in glory, though there will be an everlasting life in hell. May the Lord help us to believe in spiritual things and give them priority over earthly things. Amen.